Now entering Nerdist.com.
Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Talking about penises when we're not recording.
It's such, you know, so many people have said that.
How it's long have you been in show business and you don't know the number
exactly
one rule?
The number one rule. Cocks come out, start talking, hit press record. I've embraced the word cock.
You know,
a lot of people have embraced the word cunt.
Yeah.
Am going with the word cock. That's
it's
where
a
I'm going
good
with
word.
It's got the hard case.
On either end.
Right. It's a hard. So,
wow, what a day.
What a day. It's another 3 days ago, because right now it's still early in the week, right?
It's so it's Tuesday.
So this will air next Monday.
Right.
What new reveal
oh
will
my
happen
God
before this comes
know
out? But as of now, there's been a comeback. They keep calling
a cockback.
A cockback. Did he ever go away? He never did. He was always writing.
I don't know what he was doing. I heard that he did a set at Governor's in Levittown, and it was a tiny crowd, and it didn't go well. So he hightailed it over to the Comedy Cellar, and I guess the MC put him up. It's a weird.
Oh.
It's like
So he did a set at Governor's that same night.
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
But it's sort of. I don't even know how that unfolded because the owner of the cellar wasn't there, and it seems like he bypassed whoever was managing and just went up to the MC and went, "I want to go up," and
the MC
okay.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
We don't know what to do.
Right. When you're an MC, I mean, you would have to genuinely have to just go. You're not on the list, man.
No, you don't do. No, I think there's.
But I don't know who. I don't know what MC has when
they
someone
don't have
famous
that power
comes up.
This it's not Boston where the headliners MC. The MCs right are the
newer
intro
comics
to the club comics.
Yeah, and they and like even the sound guy. I had a sound guy one time tell me because I said, "Hey, because I did one of those Jackie Cation and Friends things
yeah
at the Improv, and I said, you know, if anybody does a drop in, there's really no room, and the
oh,
sound
that's
guy
right.
And the sound guy goes, well, Dane Cook might come by.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And I said, he's not going up. He's running the light. And the guy goes, I don't know how to say no to Dane Cook. And I said, I do. So
right
if there's a trouble. But I don't know.
That guy's like, out of control.
Yeah. Well.
That's it. You know what? But not on the level
now
of Louis.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
He's just Dane Cook's. He's got like an 18-year-old girlfriend, and he's posting
midlife
videos of himself like shirtless singing "I Just Had Sex" and stuff on Instagram.
What?
Yeah, I know somebody who follows him intensely and then forwards videos. So
okay, because you and you forwarded the article about Louis going up at the Cellar, and I just all I did was innocuously enough post a tweet.
That was
the
a good
last
one
line.
It was a good one.
Well, it was just the last line of the New York Times article said.
Yeah.
So just like he just ripped it off like a Band-Aid. And it's a terrible analogy.
Right.
Because the New York Times is saying that Louis is the victim.
He's a wounded soldier.
He's a wounded soul. And poor thing has to just sort of suck it up and plow through
right
and not write the bit that I want him to write.
Yeah, or do the mental health care clinic I want him
well
to.
I got several people today saying, so if he would have written the, because what I want him to do, because he does so much navel gazing, right? He's
right
the personal scramble around in his unwanted thought syndrome guy.
Yes.
And I want him to write the joke that makes me know that he gets what he did was creepy and wrong.
Yes.
That's what I want. Now, so somebody said to me, so if he wrote that bit, you would forgive him? And I was like, yes. Do you know what it would take for him to write a funny bit about that? He would have to go on the journey. He has to fix it inside his head and inside his life.
Sure.
To write the funny joke.
That's half of it. He has to make financial restitution, in my opinion, to the women whose careers he stalled or harmed.
Well, that would be part of it.
Yes.
But I mean, the thing is he wasn't willing to do the work.
No, not at all.
So,
no.
Essentially, he went up and he did jokes, and I guess someone was there and tweeted at me and said that he made some reference to a rape whistle, which just, she was like, I almost threw up because it didn't make.
So she was in the audience.
Yeah.
Because it's being portrayed as only one person complained and the crowd give him a standing ovation. And I always think that that's they never accurately describe what the crowd's doing. You know, maybe two people stood up and a couple people did. And the other people were like, I guess so. I guess that's what you do. I'm from Amsterdam. I've never been to this country.
Right. Well, they're all foreigners or they're from like rural New Jersey. They've come into the city because they saw his show.
So I don't know. I'm sure it wasn't how it was. It was because it was portrayed as this great standing ovation. Then everyone could write think pieces on look at what we've become. And I'm sure it wasn't that. And I'm sure there were a lot of women that were because we are just silently disgusted and sick to our stomachs and just go, I can't believe this is happening. Why are five people standing around me? I don't want to make a scene. I'll just suck it up, you know.
But that's why I mean, the thing is there's this whole thing about, you know, separate the art from the artist and all these things. And you're like, okay, but the art better be really good. Yeah. And it better address, like, Roman Polanski.
Right.
Every piece of art that he's ever written has been about how he wants to incestuously fuck his sister. So it's always
Roman Polanski, the director?
Didn't he do Chinatown? Am I wrong?
Right, yeah. Did he write Chinatown?
There was a spoiler alert. There's incest in Chinatown.
I know, but he wrote it too?
No, but he directed it. Okay. I don't know if he wrote it, but the thing is the stuff that you choose to do.
Right.
Is a reflection of what you choose to do, of who you are.
Right.
You could wear a hat. You could tell me you're doing a character from the beginning of time.
Yeah.
But you chose to write that Hickory Dickory Dock.
Dice play? Yeah.
You could tell me that's a character, but that guy's inside of you.
That character lives in
you. That character is in you. That is something that you think deserves a voice. So you want to do a joke about...
Jackie, it's a good rhyme. You got to admit it. Come on. It rhymes with cock, your new favorite word.
Your new favorite word. How did I get there? It's a little bit of a callback.
What's living in you right now, I'd like to know.
Well, certainly not a cock. I can't even write the Sexy Times chapter because it's embarrassing me.
That's awesome.
Yay. Whatever. It's so I'm going to San Diego this week.
Wait, we're not done with Louis,
are we?
No, we're
not done. Are we? Okay. Go, please.
No, I was talking to somebody about, you know, the whole conversation is about his comeback, you know, and is it soon enough or is it too soon or how are men supposed to come back? I mean, Michael Ian Black and Louis C.K. were trending for like 10 hours at the same time. And Michael Ian Black was trending because he defended Louis mildly, but still boneheadedly.
Right. Not thinking it through.
No.
And it was sort of without the big picture. Like
that always makes me think. Oh, what did you do that you want this leniency for this other person?
Right.
That's the first thing you think of moments after you hear about it. Hey, guys, let's not judge. But I'm sure he didn't, but I don't know. It's just strange.
It's a weird place to go because you're just
the first thing you go to.
Yeah. Right. You're like, well, what? It was consensual. And just like, I'm sorry.
But it's also.
It was not. He admitted it.
White male comedy stars kind of. Banding together a little bit, right. But okay. So
someone was like, they also complained about how he's going to lose money, like he's not getting a sound exchange check that will embarrass all of us. I mean, the guy's not living check to check. It's okay.
I can't imagine how much money he has. First of all, you know, the focus should be on the women who were
at least the five women who were willing to speak up.
Right. Right. For example, Rebecca Corey, mm-hmm. who is very funny, she put her name in an article in the New York Times article, and she's been,
which is brave,
very brave, because she's been subjected to death threats and rape threats and all that kind of stuff. And can you just imagine? It's hard enough being a stand-up, and it's hard enough going to a club or whatever you're going to be doing, right?
Right.
It's hard, and then stand-ups are normally paranoid anyway. We're always like, oh, that guy hates me. This person hates me.
Right.
This show hates me.
You want everyone to like you.
But in your brain, you know, you
and,
just...
And you can build that whole scenario of...
Okay. So you get very paranoid about people who hate you, right? It's total stand-up thing. Festivals. Oh, Montreal hates me, right? We just had a round of new people, I'm sure, who think Montreal hates them. And then... When you're a female comic, you get this extra layer of, oh, God, that guy's weird with women. That I don't want to get it. You know, those are other people that you're like, ooh, am I allowed there? Am I allowed in that space? And then when you're someone like Rebecca or Dana or Julia who put their names in the newspaper and said this happened, then you actually have a real whisper campaigns that are going on about you that in addition to your normal comic paranoia, how, you know, it's hard to just saunter into a club because right. You don't know who's like, oh, it's her. Oh, she's the one that's why Louis can't work. It's because of her.
Right.
And people don't even take that into account that, you know, maybe somebody just is like, fuck it. Then I won't just go out tonight. And it's not even a thing where a club wouldn't put you up, but you just don't want to deal with that extra burden, which shouldn't
layer.
Be yours in the first place, because yeah. That's the person who should feel the burden is the guy who jerked off in front of you or who tried to. It shouldn't be you because he picked you and then you pointed it out.
Right. Right. And so she's the reason he doesn't get to work is such a flawed statement on so many different levels.
It's Duncan Hunter saying, my wife spent all the money and I didn't do it.
Yeah.
The guy that represented
him. Like,
and
it's throwing the woman under the bus because nobody wants to take responsibility for their own actions, you know? And somebody said to me, well, you're going to make a mistake one day and then what'll happen? And I was like, is this some not very cryptic way of asking me if I'm abusing my power as a mid-level high headliner on the road? Because as far as I can tell, I'm not. But if I did, I would want to make reparations.
Right, right.
Financial, emotional. And I mean, the reason there's a difference between humility and humiliation, right? If I am humiliated, I've almost always created that myself.
Mm-hmm.
If I have humility and I can admit a mistake, that's actually empowering.
Sure.
I'm going to be able to power through that to go, oh shit, I laid hands on you.
Yeah.
I've gone mad and I'm sorry and I'm not going to hit you.
Right.
Which is, I may have told this, I'm not the hero of the story. I was pumping gas, woman cut me off. Stole the pump. I lost my shit.
Wait, she stole your pump?
She like grabbed the handle and just stole and started pumping the other side of the
pump. Oh my God, but you already put your credit card down, right?
No, it was, she did it right as I was about to.
Oh, what an asshole.
She was a giant fucking asshole.
I support whatever comes next in the story.
Well,
I'm on your side.
It isn't the best thing that's ever happened. I got mad at her, I got in her face, and then I grabbed her. And I grabbed her by the shirt.
Yeah.
And she was a bus driver, so she had clearly dealt with insane people before.
Oh, my God.
Because she looked me in the eye and she said, you're not going to hit me. What are you doing? And I let go of her very slowly and I go, you are, of course, correct. I am not going to hit you. And then and then the pump next to it opened up. I pulled my car up and I had to pump, and we had to pump silently next to each other for about 4 to 5 minutes.
That's awesome. Oh, the awkwardness.
But it was super awkward, and it was a situation where I was wrong clearly in the moment, and she was sane enough to sort of call me on it. But she was dumb enough to have fucking done a weird thing to be.
Yeah.
She had done a weird thing to begin with.
Yes.
But it was like, I was like, I don't understand. I mean, it was an Arco. So who knows how the pumps were set up.
You know what happens at Arcos, man.
Let me tell you something. An Arco, there's trouble at an AMPM, you guys. So
that's my favorite place to stop at on the road is an AMPM. After Flying J.
This is another red, delicious moment.
They got everything you need. AMPM. It's got the AM and the PM.
It's got a triangle
sandwich. You're covered
24/7. It's got an apple that was picked a month ago, but has been dyed red. Yes,
I don't.
It's got
I don't get the fruit there, but I always used to get I'd get like a nice power
bar,
and a hot chocolate, and drive 7 more hours on my 21-hour journey to a triple run.
But here's the thing. Yeah.
The other thing being Louis C.K. Yeah. So you want to get up on stage. You just can't. You don't think of what's going to happen after you get up on stage.
Yeah.
First of all, somebody tweeted a picture of the lineup at the Cellar and of all the Cellar rooms.
Who the other? Oh yeah.
And said, "Oh, here's the other comics that were on the bill. Maybe, you know, talk to them." So first of all, you're putting all these other comics who are just working for $100 spots on a weekend or whatever
and
in jeopardy.
Even been in the room.
Yes. Yeah. And
like
you're going to make
in a cab.
You're going to make them go to the Cellar and say, if you put up Louis, then I'm not going to go up on stage.
And so really? I guess I'm not going to make $900 a weekend.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm not going to work. Okay. Yeah. So you're putting those people in jeopardy. You're putting the Cellar in a really bad position.
Right. Because he strong-armed some MC.
Yeah.
And a doorman, I guess. Right?
And, yeah, and not to mention the women who thought maybe the story would go away. I was just on Twitter, shockingly, and Dana and Julia were being tweeted at by a Huffington Post entertainment writer.
What do you
writer.
Think now? Yeah, what do you think? How about now?
Hey, why don't you write up Manny Stattmiller's, you know, was kind of making this point. Why don't you do a review of their show in Chicago if you want to write an article about them instead
of great.
Talking to them only when Louis C.K. does 5 new minutes of material, you know?
Mandy Stattmiller was on The Dork Forest. Her dorkdom, the ER, the TV show ER.
Oh, interesting. Hilarious. Oh, my God. Weird. She and my mom could face off.
I never watched it.
But can you, to not even think of all that, all the ripple effect of you doing a spot, to not even consider all that and just be like, oh, fuck it. I got to talk about waitresses and tips or whatever he had to talk about. That's also like. Just gross. I would be mortified if I knew I was putting people in that position.
Any number of reasons why you are not Louis C.K. first of all, but I will say this is that I read that article so closely because I was like, did he do the bit?
Right, right.
He addressed the thing that I needed him to address. And
right.
And they would have mentioned it if he had.
Sure.
So he did not. And thus, I cannot support him. He once gave me the weirdest compliment in the world, Louis C.K.
Right.
I had done Last Comic Standing, first or second time.
Mm-hmm.
Too many times, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
We were both at UCB in the Green Room, Franklin, and years ago, obviously. And he said, I saw your set on Last Comic Standing, and I thought to myself, now that's real stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
that's a nice compliment.
I was like, well, yeah, this isn't a fucking hobby. What do you think I'm doing, man?
Well, it might have been a comment on...
But it wasn't. It wasn't. He meant it as a compliment.
No, but also a comment on, you know, the other performers that were you were lumped in with.
And there's
something.
No reason to shit on them. but it was a nice enough, but it was thought a weird compliment
cuz
how about I saw your set on it's like all qualifying compliments.
Right.
How about I liked your set on Last Comic Standing?
Yes.
Funny stuff.
Yes.
And at which point I would have been over the moon cuz his stuff was so personal and so in depth that I remember loving, you know, sort of the construction of it.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking that I wanted 6 more months to tighten it up.
Yeah.
But, because he was doing those once a year things. But, but I know, and I don't know where he goes from here. I don't know what the next step is.
Who cares?
Nobody cares except for that it's going to be an issue.
I know. But that was one of my favorite parts of Hannah Gadsby's special is I'm tired of worrying about the reputations of white men. I was like, me too.
I liked human neutral. That was my favorite line. Is where she said, white men think of themselves as human neutral.
Yes.
Not you, Kyle.
Thanks,
guys. Silently. Not it.
He's in a Reddit thread right now, typing away about us.
Oh my God.
Kyle's QAnon.
Kyle is QAnon.
What? Did you know that Q is this guy named Lionel. He used to have a show called Snap Judgment on True TV.
No.
I did his show. And there's a picture of him he met with Trump in the Oval Office. I'm like, Lionel? And he used to be on Air America. He was like a left-leaning radio host on Air America. And totally went to the other side of complete insanity.
At what point was someone handing out sneakers? What happened? It's like, was there the Kool-Aid? I don't know.
There are
people.
Oh, that's right. No, there are people that go so far left they actually come out right
wing. It's true. And the other way. Some people go so far right that you're just like, well, you almost are making sense.
Well, like Jill Stein to me has gone so far left. She's now
right.
Russian.
And Bill Maher went so far to the right that he came to the left.
Yeah, that's another guy I don't want to think about.
Well, and the thing is, I was like, someone was saying that you got to get the bad guys that are other gross white guys to stand up to Louis C.K. And I was like, so someone's got to call Norton? Except for I'm just kidding, because Norton, notoriously pays for whatever weird fetish he's got going on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought he meant... comics just saying, oh, this, they won't.
Some comic was saying that
there's too many comics that are really good friends with them that are just like, but they're
still gonna hang out and play cards and
yes
go drinking or carousing or yep. whatever bullshit thing yes. happens. It's just foul. Anyway, I was in Colorado.
Yeah,
I did the High Plains Comedy Festival.
How was
and
it?
I did Fort Collins and I got a standing ovation, which they kept talking about over the weekend, which made me laugh.
But was it because Louis had just walked in the room?
Because Louis had just walked in the room and he was about to tell his amazing joke about his ex-wife.
That's awesome. And, that's awesome. That...
Well, no, because I was going to talk about it because I realized they did it as I was getting off stage. And yeah. I had pressed record, but it didn't take.
Oh,
and
no.
luckily the room for some reason recorded it.
Okay.
And
that's
so
disturbing
but good, because I was like, send me that, because I want to hear what the hell I did.
Yeah,
because I did two old bits, and here's my theory. Not that I'm not a genius, not that it's not all working out and that everyone should jump to their feet. I'm just saying that I think the reason is because my albums are played more in the Denver market than almost anywhere else.
You can tell? How?
Because of the number of people that come up to me and tell me. This is like literally so many people are like, this is what you look like? I hear you all the time.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm not even kidding. Over 50 people.
Wow.
Over the weekend.
Wow.
And recognition when my name was said out loud.
Wow.
And weird things. So here's my theory on Fort Collins. Oh my God, she's got 40 new minutes that I haven't heard on the last album.
Yeah.
So that's why I think standing up. And of course,
that's
those jokes
cool.
Are good. It was good.
That's yeah. really cool.
And I had the time of my life doing that 45.
Sure.
Miscommunication, because it was Fort Collins and Boulder were the one-nighters, and then yeah. High Plains in the middle. Live Dork Forest with Baron Vaughn and Eliza Skinner.
Yeah.
Was fascinating.
Great.
And then a bunch of sets. But so Fort Collins, super fun. Boulder, I bailed on because there was a miscommunication. I thought it was a one-nighter, going to get paid. But because it, and that's what it was initially when we first spoke, but because it was on the tail end of the festival,
mm-hmm.
The guy who books it was like, it was just a showcase night, so I was only going to do 15. And I need 45s. I don't need 15s.
So did you get another 45 instead?
I didn't. So I just came home.
Came home early?
Yeah, I came home because Andy needed support. And so, and it was just frequent flyer miles. And
Can I do that 15 in Boulder, or has the time passed?
The time has passed.
Okay.
It was 2 days ago.
Damn it.
But I'm doing a set this week in... I mean, this will have aired, but I'm doing Caitlin Gill's Thursday
mm-hmm.
in the lab. That'll be super fun.
Oh, cool.
And then Friday, I go to Tulsa and Omaha with Maria.
Cool.
And then next week, I go to San Diego with Maria.
Where?
And then I go to Santa Cruz. Don't know.
Okay.
I don't think it's American. I think it's a theater.
Okay.
And then we're going to take the train, though. San Diego.
To San Diego. Oh,
yeah.
People have done that on our show when we do Comic-Con and they really love it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
People were talking about how... it was TJ Chambers talking mm-hmm. about how great the train was to go to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
He's like, just take the train. And did you take it?
Oh, every time.
Every time.
Yeah. Cool.
And does it drop you off close to the convention center?
It's like 3 blocks away.
Oh, my God.
What hotel are you staying at?
Don't know. Okay. I hope it's a Hilton property.
Oh, that's right. You guys are Hilton branded. I forgot.
I have a dream and it involves the Hilton properties.
I had a lot of little shows in Los Angeles this weekend, and they were all fun. Mm-hmm. They were all good shows, but they felt like very LA shows where I'm like, the crowds were like a little too good. And okay. I was like, oh, I can't get too cocky about this.
it's hard to get a read.
Yeah. I'm going to go to New York and have my ass handed to me if I
are you going
think
this
I'm
week
done.
To New York?
No, I'm going in a couple of weeks. I'm okay. doing Tinder Live with Lane Moore.
Oh, nice. Yeah, she asked me if I was going to be in town. I was like, I want to be in town. I feel like I haven't been in New York in forever.
Yeah, you should be in town.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a couple shows in a row that were all like one was Crystal's show. Was that a Crystal's place? Oh. Lindsay Adams thing?
Like amethyst? And
yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I got some crystals and there's a psychic there.
Sure.
And then the next night
put
it was
the sun and charge them. Anyway,
the next night it was a high priestess show outdoors with pie. And then the following night was, at a pod cafe, and they all ran together and I kept confusing them. And I had only written pie show. Here's the thing with LA is like, the show will have seven names. It'll be like
right.
the pie show at the cake shop in Little Tokyo.
And it's called Umbrellas Are Free.
Yes. And so you write Umbrellas insane. And then the flyer tags you as pie and you're like, what the fuck? I'm at Umbrellas tonight. And then you realize, oh, it's the
was
same show.
Was it Republic of Pie by any chance?
No, it was just pie. It was at a house.
Oh.
And Pruitt booked it and it was at a house and people brought pies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you could just eat pie during the show. That
I fucking love pie. You pie person or cake person? Ice cream. I like ice cream better than both.
I like pluots now. I'm really into, have you had them? They're half plum, half apricot.
Yeah, I've had them. They're good.
But I mean, also like red velvet cake.
I'm not talking
cake.
About like, oh, you like red velvet cake in the world of cake?
Yes.
Okay.
But just the frosting. Now,
thank you for this. That was a small quiz.
So all these, so it's all kind of craziness, you know. But they were really fun shows, and then on Monday night I had an 11 o'clock spot at a comic book store in Sherman Oaks. It's got the word paper in it.
Paper Heroes.
Yes,
I did that.
Yes, you've done that. Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. She just rubbed her fingers together. Yeah, I got paid. Yeah.
Excellent.
But here's the thing.
Because I know he charges a cover and he's a good guy.
Yeah. Brian. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I work all day. And my son, of course,
like that you narked on me. Anyway, I was like.
Well, there was this weird pause where you were like, huh?
Well, we could have cut it out.
Okay.
But continue.
It still could be
how
cut out.
How was the set?
The set was fine. But here's the drama of getting to the set. Because I'm trying to. I feel so guilty for. Like always escaping my son's grasp to go do a spot.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, I'm not up till 11 and I'm just not going to tell my son I have a set tonight. But
oh, right. He can go to bed and then he can go.
So I'm going to put him to bed at 10 and then hopefully in the next 15 minutes, because if I put him, like he sleeps in the bed with me, right? So we lay down and I have to wait for him to start twitching because then I know he's really sleeping. And if I leave before he starts twitching, he'll be like, Mom, where are you going? And then he's awake.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next morning I can't. He gets not enough sleep and his grades are already shitty already. So it's okay. We got to get like 9 hours sleep at least. So 10:18, he starts twitching. Right. And I'm like, I got to get there. My spot's at 11. So I tiptoe out of the room. And then I realized I left my shoes in the room. So I, you know, I'm like feeling around and all I could find were thongs. And I'm like, fuck it, you know. And it was fine. Did it at 11 o'clock. Got home at around 11:45. And I've been on I don't know, 5 days in a row, 5 hours of sleep. I'm really fucking wiped out.
I bet. Yeah, that's insane. I forgot to tell you, so after you left, after you did our last episode,
right,
where we ran into the night.
And you did a spot, too.
I did it in a dress.
Oh, my God.
Remember I was wearing a dress?
Yes, I do. A sundress.
A sundress. And it turns out when you do comedy in a dress, you're self-conscious until you start telling jokes. It's almost like doing television. It's almost like doing anything new.
Right.
It's fine until you start doing stand-up comedy, and then it doesn't matter anymore because you're doing stand-up comedy.
Right. You know what I love about Michelle Wolf is she always wears these really cool, like, sneakers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
she always wears, like, a fun, different shoe.
Yeah, they're, like, gold sneakers. She must have a closet full of sneakers.
And she wears pants, though.
Yeah, she wears jeans. You know, she'll wear, like, tight jeans that cut that like hug the calf, but she's a runner, so it looks fine. And then she wears like these giant sneakers, and it looks
interesting.
I don't know. It's I've never seen a comic dress like that, and she just looks really comfy but cool. It's interesting. I can't do it, but I admire people.
You know, Kate Willett.
Yeah.
She always wears the same sort of fitted dress.
Right, right.
With tights.
Yeah.
And she's got like 7 of them or 10 of them or something. Wow. And she's like, it is the greatest thing in the world because it is one item and super comfortable. And I always look half dressed up.
Right, right, right.
More than half, I think. And it's kind of cool to have a look.
Yeah, I
that
don't
is easily
really
duplicated.
Yes, it's like Barack Obama just had the same color suit every single day. It's, you don't have to think about it; you just put it on.
It's like a uniform kind
of. Right. And then Michelle Wolf's show got canceled too. Of course,
right, did not get picked up.
Yeah,
it's true.
After 10 episodes, that's just not enough time.
It isn't.
And you have to promote the. It's weird. I guess Netflix is. Joel McHale said this. I'm not. It's not my original thought, but they're creating binge viewers. They're not creating people that want to watch a show, a new show every single week. And it's really, I don't know how they're going to train their audience to watch any sort of weekly show.
Right.
When they only dump episodes all at once.
Right. They can only do, and that's the kind of show that needs to be weekly because it's topical.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember Kamau's show on FX?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When they moved it from once a week to 5 days a week.
Oh, my God.
And
that
then
is...
they moved it to FXX. So they buried it in cable. And then they moved it from once a week when it was acclaimed to 5 times a week.
They I thought that it was reverse, no?
No.
Wow.
No, it was on FX and it was once a week.
Right, I remember.
And they were like, we love it, 5 days a week. And, oh, we're going to move you slightly deeper and change the channel.
Oh, my, 100 channels higher?
Yeah, and then, of course.
And not give you any more writers?
Yeah.
You guys just have to write 5 times as much?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Just going to bury you in the sand.
Wow.
And so I'm so glad he's doing well over at CNN. It's nice.
He's killing it.
Yeah, he's doing great. It's did we talk about this? I saw The Spy Who Dumped Me.
Mm-mm.
With
Melissa McCarthy.
No. SNL.
Oh, Kate McKinnon.
And 70s Show.
Mila Kunis.
Kunis. Hilarious.
Cool.
Hilarious. Weird because women buddy movie.
Yeah.
But here's my thing about women buddy movies. There aren't that many of them,
right?
There's The Heat. There's this one. Those are my two favorites. And, and I like, that's not, Fury Road isn't. Even though you get those three breeders in the back seat. Anyway.
No, Fury Road wasn't a female buddy movie.
Well, I know, but it had Furiosa and the three breeders.
Yeah.
And so, but the, but they're messier than guy buddy movies because they haven't done them enough.
Yeah.
So what I really like, The Spy Who Dumped Me, is they finally got sort of the friendship part of it real.
Yeah.
Like, it's a real sort of, there's a certain kind of woman who has friendships like that kind of friendship where they genuinely know secrets from when they were 13.
Right, yes.
And so it has that kind of vibe to it.
Are there, though? I guess there are.
I've never been.
Really? I haven't been one either. And it seems like that's how women are portrayed. And I always feel like, I guess I'm not a real woman because I don't have a best friend from age 12 that
I think Yeah, we're comics, so I don't know that it's super
Did
normal.
I become a comic because I felt like I wasn't a real woman, so I might as well go all the way with it?
Go all the way. I love that silence. What is womanhood?
I thought I'd have more steam on this one.
Yeah, because there was because
of Louis.
Did you set tonight?
That's another thing he stole from me. I'm tired.
He He is exhausting. It was a lot. It was, and then the Daily Beast emailed me today, and they
were
like,
"That's right,
you
called me, and I didn't. I never checked my voicemails, so I missed you.
And I was driving, so I was like, I'm not going to text while driving.
Yeah, they're a legitimate news agency. They did do that one article where they called a Kurt Metzger pro rape in the headline. They called him a pro rape.
Well,
comic.
Did you see the headline on the thing? What? Women are women. Female comics are disgusted, and so I wrote two alternative headlines, which one also some male comics and female comics are not surprised. Those are the two alternate headlines for that article, sir.
It was a good article.
It was a perfectly good article. I mean, and he quoted,
you presented yourself. You acquitted yourself well.
Well, he said we could either talk on the phone or I can email you, and during the interview process. I always want to be emailed because I want to write it.
Yes.
And then be right. Quote, just cut and paste, my
yes,
friend.
Yes, exactly.
I will check the spelling. Why don't you check the punctuation? And that'd be great for both of us.
Yes.
Other than that, I was in Colorado.
Well, I was just very stressed on Twitter today.
Oh, shit. Comic of the week.
I had to read all the new takes. Yeah, there's so many Louis takes.
A lot of takes.
You know, Rebecca Traister. I think Roxane Gay is coming out with something. Like every female essay writer, I'm like, oh, I got it. And they were all a tiny bit different. I mean, they were, you know, they all had very similar themes, but everyone kind of brought their own, whatever they brought to. Eliza wrote a good one, Skinner, in Refinery 29. Oh. This is all within 24 hours of it. I'm sure there'll be more by the time this thing airs.
I thought I saw that like Chelsea Handler and Kathy Griffin both had a couple comments on it. And they, of course, just the trolls. The trolls that I get are usually, hey. And then I go, did you want to say something? That's how I like to respond to the worst trolls. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Did you want to say something? Mm-hmm. And I did block a couple of people on Facebook.
Because
I was like, well, I don't, you're not even willing to Google what he admitted.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have that conversation.
No. You don't have to go backwards. I haven't been on Facebook too much. I looked, Felicia had some nice things to say.
Felicia Michaels did a nice little write up on it. That was good.
The other, it's interesting. Like, again, it's definitely an age or generational difference. Like you, me, Felicia, and I am, disgusted by what Rebecca Corey has gone through, only because I just spoke to her recently too at a party and stuff.
And so you had to hear firsthand the additional stuff.
Yeah. And then, you know, and I'm sure Dana.
Don't they know that she knows pit bulls? She's a big pit bull
Louis probably knows the actual pit bull. I can't even talk. I'm so tired. My tongue is like five words behind me.
Oh, yeah. The 5 hours of sleep. Well, let's do the comic of the week. Let's do comic of the week, which is Gayla Johnson.
Yay.
Gayla Johnson's still working. She is possibly our age. I wouldn't want to assume to tell anyone. Mm-hmm. I featured for her. I think it was either in Wisconsin or Minnesota many years ago.
Oh, yeah?
She's a New York comic. I believe she's living here now.
Okay.
And it's at Gayla Johnson. G-A-Y-L-A. Johnson like Johnson. And she's always been really... just a great comic, just works the road.
Yeah.
But is sort of has this kind of, I saw that she's doing a show with Jan Karam and a bunch of people, and it feels soft spoken.
Yeah.
Her stand up.
Yeah.
But it's smart and it's sharp, and I've always enjoyed it. So Gayla Johnson.
Awesome.
Check it out.
By the way, at Paper Heroes. Yeah. Jan Karam did a set.
Yeah.
She has a really fucking brilliant abortion analogy joke.
She is so...
Have you heard it?
No.
Oh, okay. You got to watch it.
We
got to
check and see if she's been comic of the week, because she is outstanding.
Yeah. It was really funny.
She had one of my favorite jokes of hers. I think it's on her current album. It's Random Rage Guy. Remember Random Rage Guy joke?
Uh-uh.
Some guy that she went out with. Random Rage Guy. Maria told me, let's talk, just jumping around. Uh-huh. Maria told me, because we were talking about how, because someone else online was talking about how, well, what joke, he can't write a joke, if Louis wrote a joke about what he did, then everyone would say he's being flippant. And I said, nobody said it would be easy for him to write that joke. It's a hard joke to write.
That's what writing is.
That's what writing is.
You actually do it. You
have to live the journey.
Take the time. And you do it correctly.
Yes.
And you make sure your POV is well stated and from the correct place.
Maria, in Montreal, it was I was like, do you remember him? She said, he was a new face. He was unwrapped. And
Louis?
A guy who wrote a joke about being a registered sex offender.
What?
He said he was a registered sex offender, and the punchline was something along the lines of, the only thing worse than being a registered sex offender is being an unregistered sex offender. And that was the angle. And I was like, that is a fucking hilarious angle. And so I looked him up.
Is
so if
he
I'm
really
gonna,
a registered sex offender?
I don't know. But she said she believed it was this guy. So if I'm wrong, should I even?
Yeah, no, I mean, you're calling a guy a registered sex
offender. It was a funny joke. I don't want
to
it's
a funny joke, but you can't just throw out a name and say, I think this comic's a registered sex offender.
Can I tell somebody's joke and not say their name? Where's the line? Okay.
In this case, yes.
All right. And not name this gentleman. All right. Fair enough.
Oh, my God.
Noted. See, this could have been my big fall from grace. This could have been, I might have had to do financial reparations for this guy. But anyway, but that's a funny joke. And if it was his joke, why doesn't that guy email me, Jackie at JackieCation.com, and tell me that I can say his name or that I was right not to say his name? There you go. How about that?
So
I am so sorry. I didn't actually think that part through.
No,
you guys are correct.
You did not.
Well, I'm glad I don't do this show alone.
Why? Although sometimes you seem like you're on a solo podcast.
Wait a minute. Let me interrupt you to tell you a story.
Why did Maria, you said Maria, and then all of a sudden we were talking about registered sex offenders.
Maria Bamford, who is a comic.
Yeah.
And somebody today, by the way, was like, why has she never been a comic of the week? Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, hey, Maria Bamford doesn't, her and Sarah Silverman, neither one of those guys need the JLS
bump. Once you've had your own series, you're pretty good. You don't need us.
You don't
need
us.
We'll only take you down.
Exactly.
It's like, what happened?
We don't want
to
take you
She
down.
Became a Jackie and Laurie comic of the week? That's so sad.
Right, exactly. Is she on the trajectory? So the reason I brought her up, because she was the one who told me the joke, the premise.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
So
they were just there. That person was just there.
He was, yeah. So
okay,
that person might have been there. Anyway, how do I unravel? What else is happening?
I don't know.
I didn't prepare any jokes.
Well, let's see.
There you go.
Comedy.
So itself.
I have this bit about reading Anne Frank to my son.
Yes, you do.
So it's sort of, there's a few.
And there are new pages. I thought you made that up.
What?
There are new pages.
What do you mean new pages?
In Anne Frank's, they found two new pages of the Anne Frank
diary. Oh, I don't
know
if I have the latest one.
It's about her period.
Oh, well, she mentions it in the book very quickly. I didn't know that was new.
I thought it was new.
You mean the bit for me, or that Anne Frank had her period?
That Anne Frank had her period.
No, I think that was always part of it.
Well, okay. Well,
Do you not remember reading that or something?
Oh, I never read Anne Frank.
Okay. I haven't either. It's the first time I'm reading it.
Right. It was not assigned, weirdly enough. We read Black Like Me. That was our cultural exchange.
Oh. That's why you're so woke.
Yes.
Well, you know, she just... As soon as I started comedy, she was like a punchline people went to, and then they'd go, "Oh, what? Too dark for you?"
Yeah,
you know, that kind of a thing.
She didn't seem
like a real person. It was just was like, "Oh, that's a comedy reference now." But God damn, reading it, she's a great writer.
Mm-hmm.
She's really funny. She's smart. I'm like, fuck, what a loss. And I'm on record. The Holocaust is devastating.
It's devastating because 80 years ago, the Dork Forest I did who was it? He's a tall, oh my God. This will be great for him. Tall,
is
handsome
he a sex
comic.
Offender?
Nope.
Okay.
Really nice guy, Seattle comic, and works the road, and his name might not, it isn't, I feel like it's
See,
Derek
I don't
want to
throw
Dale.
Out names because I don't want to start debating whether certain people are tall or not.
Or handsome.
Right.
But he's
there's no. If I throw anyway, a name at you'd be like, I said handsome.
If you Google the words Dork Forest and Anne Frank, he will come up because he did Anne Frank. 24 last 24 hours of Elvis's life and Pete Best, who I didn't even know who that was.
Oh, the Beatle.
He was a Beatle. But Anne Frank, it was so funny. He was listening to Anne Frank on Audible. Mm. He was listening to the book on tape.
Who reads it?
I don't know. But he said that he was listening to it and he literally was driving PCH, going to some gig, I think in Monterey. And he gets to the end of it and he was like, I wonder whatever happened to her.
He didn't know.
He didn't know. And so he burst into tears while driving the PCH.
Oh, my God.
And he goes, who kills a 16-year-old? And I was like, Nazis. That's one of the things that they're known for is the killing of 16-year-old
Jewish girls.
He bumped
into your expertise.
And why is that mine? But it could have been.
I don't know.
I was like, what's my dorkdom? Anyway, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing the road. I'm doing the Santa Cruz thing,
mm-hmm.
which is just a one-nighter. And I'm just driving up. It's a Saturday, getting a headline set out.
That's cool.
I also just booked a Valentine's Day.
Oh, my God.
On purpose.
Okay.
In Milwaukee.
Hey, that's nice. She'll be home.
But that's what I was like. I can go to Milwaukee in February because that's what you want to do.
Sure.
Wisconsin in February. I'm never certain that I'm going to fill a room, but I was like, half Valentine's, half Jackie Cation.
Yes.
That might fill a room,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And it's not a big room.
You'll attract dorks who've actually never celebrated Valentine's Day with a woman.
Right. Or a man. It'll be like that.
Well, I'm on hiatus next week.
Are you?
So we're awesome. This will drop on Labor Day, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And that whole week I'll be off. And I told my booking lady I had the week off, but I only had 3 weeks notice that I had the week off. So unless someone cancels at the very last second, I'll be here in LA. We're fine doing spots. I begged my mother to take a vacation this week so that I could just be home alone.
Right.
And her best friend is sick or is in doing a hospice with a family member. And
oh, okay.
She doesn't have any other friends after 81 right. years of being alive. She only talks to this one lady and the remote control. And my sister, conveniently, her husband has people visiting that week.
Oh, so she is just
so it'll just be me and her in the house.
I was gonna. Why don't you see if someone local is gonna be at Laughs in Seattle? We'll see if you can bump them. It's
I'll do it. I swear
to
God.
Next week is Labor Day, and all I have is Dork Forest on the brain because I've been editing Dork Forest all day.
Which is the worst searchability I'm finding because I'm trying to find this person, and literally the only thing I found is the same exact thing you just said without their name.
Oh, that's... Wait, oh no, God. Click on the TDF.
To, like, the main page.
Oh, so, what episode number is it?
It pops up at 119.
Okay, so actually, I could find that out, but...
Don't edit this out, Kyle. This is riveting.
Is it gold because it's a nice clock eater?
Oh, my God.
We're at like 45, I think,
really?
Right?
Well, we are further than that. We are at 47.
There you go. So,
I don't have any more words.
Tell a story while I Google TDF 119.
No,
is
can
that
we,
what it is?
Can we?
Okay.
Can we not
do this?
It doesn't matter. We have to look
Nate
this up
O'Green.
Right now.
Nate O'Green is a labor activist and a comic and wrote on The Kamau Show.
Right.
And he is the dork for us next week. That was the only thing I was going to say. Who cares? It's because it's Labor Day. That's
Jackie,
the fascinating...
we spend half this podcast promoing your other podcast.
Well, remember when you asked me and you said, do you want to do a podcast? And I said, I have a podcast. Hey, what about Patreon? We could talk about that because we put up.
We finally actually rewarded our Patreons.
I accidentally posted it as public. Did you notice that?
Oh, no, you did.
And then I changed it to a Patreon.
Oh, good. I hope somebody in the middle while they're listening, some cheapskate who hasn't joined our Patreon was denied our genius.
Well, somebody said, I wish I could afford to do it. And I was like, I think it's $1 a month.
Yeah, the minimum is $1 a month. I mean, other
people
probably
bucks.
Have higher minimums.
Yeah.
But we're cool because we know you guys are open micers.
Comics. Yeah, and open micers.
And we appreciate the people who pay a little bit more.
Yeah.
There's some people that pay a nice little chunk.
Yeah, some people.
We appreciate it.
$5 a month and $10 a month. And
someone was doing $30 a month.
Right.
They may have edited that.
My sister, I think, is doing $18 a month.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Which, for some odd reason.
We very much appreciate it. But,
totally. We should probably find where that money's going.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going anywhere.
I know.
Think, at
but
this
point. It's earning interest. We'll get to it.
It's earning Patreon interest.
Yes. Use it to.
We're going to build land, buy land.
No, we should like up our website and have more merch for sale and stuff like that.
Yeah, we should do something with it.
We got to look at what Karen and Georgia are doing and copy it without them knowing.
Do you ever want to do an episode where you investigate a crime that a comic's done and I have to investigate? I've mentioned this before. And then I'll investigate a crime that someone else has done and we'll tell each other the story because that's what my favorite murder is.
I know.
We could do my favorite comedy murder.
No.
You can do Vince Champ and I'll do...
I can't talk about Vince Champ again.
No, I know. I me either.
We've already talked about...
There has to be some new murderer. There's only... There's, you know,
well,
there's
I
only
do
harassers.
Know there's a sex offender.
Yeah, there's only new harassers.
Yeah, I did. It's a great... Theirs is a great podcast, but it does, like...
It hit a nerve.
They talked about this Gainesville murderer that I remember, and they got really... I was like, oh, that one was so bad. So I had, because of the way he murdered these women, I've had to hug my breasts many times to reassure them that they're still okay.
There?
Right.
This guy was a boob hacker?
Stuff like that.
That ain't right.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, don't murder anyone. What the heck? Stay sexy. Is that what it is?
Yes.
What's their
Stay
slogan?
Sexy, don't get murdered.
Don't get murdered. That's it. Maybe our slogan could be don't murder anyone and just murder on stage.
Or just don't pull your penis out.
Yeah, why don't you keep it together? Somebody asked me if I accidentally ever showed my vagina, and I was like, I'm constantly masturbating.
Who is asking you these things?
It was just something
people
I told
are
me.
Asking you. Who's,
and you know what?
What
remember
kind of people
the
are attracted
this,
to you that they're asking you these weird questions?
Remember at the beginning
questions?
Of this podcast, I said, I mostly don't have any real trolls. And then I keep saying that there are people
they're,
that are saying weird things to
questions.
Me.
They ask you odd questions.
And I just answer them and go, yes, that's exactly what's happening.
I did the thing where you mute as somebody who doesn't follow you.
Oh, yeah.
So that you just, so you, you know, instead
just
of all these people going, you know, at least they have to follow you and know you.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, you can mute everybody who doesn't follow you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind
of
cool.
So if you do a tweet and it gets a lot of action and it's attracting, you know, trolls or whatever or assholes, you won't see it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a nice feature. Mm-hmm. Mute those that don't follow.
You have to go into your settings and get that done.
All right. I don't mind that.
I can't talk anymore. I don't have it.
You don't.
I'm going to die right now. I'm going to die, Jackie.
Don't die now. There's only like 3 more minutes.
How many
left,
more
right?
minutes?
It's I just
No,
I'm,
we went short last week. Let's do an hour.
Nobody cares about my new material.
52. I do.
All
Tell
right.
me. Hit it.
Yeah. I got all kinds of, I got to do that 45 which enabled me to work on my new political stuff.
Right.
Do my two stories that need to get turned into 3-minute chunks instead of 4.5-minute chunks.
Right.
And I got to work on the new witness protection.
Cool.
Joke. So, which is good because it leads in a good direction. So
that's great.
I am psyched.
You know what I did? I don't know if I'm going to keep it like this, but I have like 3 jokes about menopause,
mm-hmm.
and I sort of tuck them into my Anne Frank story because I talk about her.
Oh, yeah.
Can
yeah.
you just not look at your phone? This is like, you're like the worst audience member ever.
Well, you're the, okay. I'm not going to, okay. We're not going to fight now. Let's spend the last 6 minutes fighting. Okay.
So I've been, a
you
couple
put it,
times
stuck it in
this
the middle.
Week, I stuck it in the middle and sort of deviated and did those jokes and mm-hmm. then went back to Anne Frank. And I like sneaking jokes in. I don't like being the kind of comic that's like, all right, this topic and then like subject header and then 7 jokes following that are exactly about this topic.
Right,
where
right.
You feel like they're breaking everything down. Like I don't want
right,
I don't
you weave
break
it in.
Shit down.
No.
Weave it in.
There's no reason. The deconstruction can be done beautifully, but I am a big fan
it's
of
exhausting.
Telling 4 jokes at once. and just sort of making them all about something. It makes it harder when you do an album, because then you gotta figure out where to break the tracks. But that's still fun because everyone has an attention span of a gnat. So if a joke is about three things, you get three different opportunities to write punchlines, and you have and then by the end of it, especially if you could tie them all together at the end, yeah, that'd be kind of neat. But
I split it back up again the last couple spots. I just did Anne Frank separately without, and I don't know, we'll see. But I kind of like not announcing, now I'm talking about menopause, you know?
Right.
I kind of like shoving
it. We're talking
it in
about
that
Anne
way.
Frank. Oh, and by the way, bodily functions.
Yes.
Aging, not aging.
Right. I'd rather do it so it doesn't sound like I'm talking about aging.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, completely. It's and just because it's more about life. I have this new angle on the flirting bit that I hope I wrote down, actually. I was doing a little research on a romance novel. I read an old romance novel. I was like, is there anything here that I could weed off on that would be a trope that I could write the sexy times paragraph, chapter? And there was kind of an interesting angle about flirting in it that I thought was that I could possibly examine in my flirting bit. But I hope I wrote that down.
Well, have you and your husband ever had some sexy time that you could write into this book?
Sure. But I mean, the thing is here's the weird thing about, and I will say this about sex, is that when I read romance novels as a child, mm-hmm. when I was first introduced to romance.
As a child?
Yeah, in junior high.
Okay.
I read Barbara Cartland, which always ended with them getting married, kissing, and it was religious.
Oh my
it was
God.
Gross.
She was Princess Diana's step-grandmother.
Yes, she was. And then Harlequin romances that they didn't have sex until they got married, which was usually the last 20 pages.
Okay.
And then Second Chance at Love Harlequin romances, which were widowers and widows, which means that they had done it or divorcees.
Sure.
And then they could have sex somewhere in the middle. And then if you go to like Avon and like, then there was like, then it just became, things just got literally like more and more sex until the ripped bodice opened, and now you can have cowboys and there can be anal sex
in Culver City.
You can do whatever you want. And you can do whatever you want. But when I first read about sex and then I had sex, it is so little like anything happening in a romance novel.
Right.
First of all, I've been noticing current sex scenes in romance novels are about 4 pages.
Yeah.
That is a long time. And it's almost entirely about foreplay. I also bought a book because somebody sent me their book. Did I tell you about this? I bought a book entirely about oral sex in the hopes to sort of not crib or plagiarize, but to get some ideas.
Sure.
It's called She Comes First.
Ah.
I'm not even lying. It is hilarious. It's from some sex therapist about oral sex.
Oh, cool.
And there is a diagram in it of the area.
Right.
And there's a word, it's like, and it's technique number one. Spend, lick up and down, just up and down on the whole area, less than a minute. And so there's time,
oh my
how
God.
Long you're supposed to spend. And so that whole thing, it's like a half an hour he's supposed to be down there. And I'm like, no, we're all bored now. So chop chop. And and too much info possibly for people, but I'm a big fan of tab A, slot A.
Yeah.
So there's no reason. I mean,
I don't even know what you're talking about anymore.
Well,
I'm not married. I live with my mother. I don't know what you're talking about anymore. I'll tell you one thing. I built in too many callbacks to my YouTube bit. And now I can't tell it unless I do 5 minutes of prep work ahead of time. I'm like,
that,
I can't even wander into it. I'm like, God damn it.
It's I actually mentioned I sold so much merch in Colorado because they air my stuff all the time.
Right.
I sold so much merch. It was hilarious.
Oh, my God.
And it was, I'm selling Spooky Reading Girl enamel pins and Spooky Reading Girl t-shirts.
Right.
Well, that joke is from 2 albums ago.
Yeah.
And so I have to do the joke if I want to sell the merch.
Right, right.
And it's a conundrum of stand-up comedy that has occurred for the last 15 years.
I want to see, because I used to, I told you, I used to do a bit where I never said the word cunt, but I said yeah. we need a whatever, a biatch version. This is back when biatch was, people were saying it. And so, and it was, the word was kiant, and I sold baby girl, like baby yeah. doll shirts with yeah. the word kiant on it. And man, those went fast. And yeah, then and then there was a time, then I don't know when exactly, but all of a sudden women stopped fitting into baby dolls. Like,
okay.
People just got heavier.
Right.
Like Americans got heavier.
Yeah.
And then they had to be t-shirts.
Okay.
You know?
Maria's got new merch. She's yeah. got a dish towel. A hand-painted fucking dish towel.
Huh.
Only Maria Bamford. She's bringing them to Tulsa and whatever this weekend.
So they're hand-painted. So each one is separately painted.
They're silk-screened
okay.
is what I'm saying.
Okay.
And they are just, they're dish towels. It's a picture of her. It's a painting of her as a queen with pugs. And she's wearing a Dork Forest t-shirt.
Does she have pugs?
Yes, she does. Okay. She has pugs.
Who is it, Sarah Tiana that has those little... animal like collars or something that weigh
know.
1 ounce and so she can shove a million of them in a suitcase.
Enamel pins, by the way, are the merch of the future.
You know what is the merch of the past? A hardback book.
Yes, it is. We're at an hour. I gotta go.
Ah.
Now leaving nerdist.com.